Practice test. Listening. Part 3. You will hear an interview in which two young fashion designers called Michelle Barnes and Oliver Grimshaw are talking about their work in sustainable fashion. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part 3.
On Business Matters today, I'm talking to two young fashion designers, Michelle Barnes and Oliver Grimshaw, who run a very successful startup company in sustainable fashion called Ethion. Michelle, generally speaking, what do you think of the fashion industry today?
It needs to change, doesn't it? I mean, the industry needs to evolve. To put it simply, environmentally and socially, the way fashion's produced isn't working. It's damaging. But I think we've come some way in recognising this, so that there's been a definite shift throughout both the fashion and textile industries towards more sustainable practices that consider the impact on our planet, for instance. The word transparency has become a buzzword for many companies that are really beginning to include sustainable solutions and want the public to know about it. The shift's towards change, but change takes time and comes with its own challenges. You know, we're still dealing with resistance and misinformation along the way on the part of some companies and consumer scepticism.
I see. Oliver, your company is considered to be a pioneer when it comes to sustainable design, by which we mean fashion that can be supported indefinitely in terms of human impact on the environment and social responsibility. Do you feel that progress has been made when it comes to the way fashion collections are produced?
Well, we always wanted to just use pre-existing materials, originally for what it meant to us artistically rather than environmentally. Mm. But the more we became involved in the industry, the more we felt the urge to break all the rules. We've only ever used waste from designer products that didn't actually get to market. And we've always produced locally with a social conscience by making a conscious effort to rehabilitate the long-term unemployed through a cooperative.
I see. Michelle, do you feel customers are becoming more aware of the negative impacts of the fashion industry?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Too many stories have been told, too much awareness of polluted rivers because of chemicals being dumped, for example, and widespread malpractice in terms of breaking the law have appeared for consumers not to have become aware of this issue. And consumers that were aware of this all along are now more outspoken in demanding change. Despite the relatively slow response from the industry itself, consumers are beginning to ask relevant and increasingly more meaningful questions on how the industry operates, and it's that which has had a significant impact.
Many believe that it's up to the next generation of designers to make a radical difference. Do students have good role models at the moment? Oliver?
If there were too many role models, students would react against them, as they're reacting against the so-called fast fashion companies and the social and environmental exploitation, which means workers are not treated well. It's precisely because there are so few role models that there's this sense that we need to do something about it pretty quickly. Some of my most exhilarating moments are spent among students and very young designers. The role of the designer is changing profoundly in terms of ethics, and I strongly sense that the next generation will relish the chance to collaborate on finding sustainable solutions.
Michelle, you founded Ethion, a platform for designers with ethical and sustainable standards, which is a very noble concept. What direction do you think your company should move in?
Well, it's taken time for us to get established, and I wouldn't say we're there yet, but step by step we're heading where we want to be. Top of our agenda is upcycling. In a world still churning out trendy throwaway fashion pieces at breakneck speed, the idea of recycled, refashioned clothing can be an anomaly. But it's the way to go as far as we're concerned. We've got a good structure in place now and have come up with some solid plans for growth.
Sounds good. And finally, what do you both think about the state of the fashion industry here in the UK at the moment? Michelle?
Well, for years now, we've seen more and more of our local manufacturers being abandoned for production facilities much further afield, simply because it's cheaper. It's a shame, really, because all that expertise we had has been greatly diminished. Perhaps the government needs to provide more of an incentive for entrepreneurs to start new fashion companies in an attempt to get back to where we were.
And when you think about the number of buildings dedicated to fashion that there used to be throughout this country too, you know, linen factories, woolen mills and so on, it's a disgrace that we've practically killed our home industry. We've ended up gradually industrialising the globe without keeping our own artisanal skills alive.
Indeed. Well, Michelle and Oliver, thank you for talking to us today.
Now you'll hear part three again.
On Business Matters today, I'm talking to two young fashion designers, Michelle Barnes and Oliver Grimshaw, who run a very successful startup company in sustainable fashion called Ethion. Michelle, generally speaking, what do you think of the fashion industry today?
It needs to change, doesn't it? I mean, the industry needs to evolve. To put it simply, environmentally and socially, the way fashion's produced isn't working. It's damaging. But I think we've come some way in recognising this, so that there's been a definite shift throughout both the fashion and textile industries towards more sustainable practices that consider the impact on our planet, for instance. The word transparency has become a buzzword for many companies that are really beginning to include sustainable solutions and want the public to know about it. The shift's towards change, but change takes time and comes with its own challenges. You know, we're still dealing with resistance and misinformation along the way on the part of some companies and consumer scepticism.
I see. Oliver, your company's considered to be a pioneer when it comes to sustainable design, by which we mean fashion that can be supported indefinitely in terms of human impact on the environment and social responsibility. Do you feel that progress has been made when it comes to the way fashion collections are produced?
Well, we always wanted to just use pre-existing materials, originally for what it meant to us artistically rather than environmentally. But the more we became involved in the industry, the more we felt the urge to break all the rules. We've only ever used waste from designer products that didn't actually get to market, and we've always produced locally with a social conscience by making a conscious effort to rehabilitate the long-term unemployed through a cooperative.
I see. Michelle, do you feel customers are becoming more aware of the negative impacts of the fashion industry?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Too many stories have been told. Too much awareness of polluted rivers because of chemicals being dumped, for example, and widespread malpractice in terms of breaking the law have appeared for consumers not to have become aware of this issue. And consumers that were aware of this all along are now more outspoken in demanding change. Despite the relatively slow response from the industry itself, consumers are beginning to ask relevant and increasingly more meaningful questions on how the industry operates. And it's that which has had a significant impact.
Many believe that it's up to the next generation of designers to make a radical difference. Do students have good role models at the moment, Oliver?
If there were too many role models, students would react against them, as they're reacting against the so-called fast fashion companies and the social and environmental exploitation, which means workers are not treated well. It's precisely because there are so few role models that there's this sense that we need to do something about it pretty quickly. Some of my most exhilarating moments are spent among students and very young designers. The role of the designer is changing profoundly in terms of ethics, and I strongly sense that the next generation will relish the chance to collaborate on finding sustainable solutions.
Michelle, you founded Ethion, a platform for designers with ethical and sustainable standards, which is a very noble concept.
Mm-hmm.
What direction do you think your company should move in?
Well, it's taken time for us to get established, and I wouldn't say we're there yet, but step by step we're heading where we want to be. Top of our agenda is upcycling. In a world still churning out trendy throwaway fashion pieces at breakneck speed, the idea of recycled, refashioned clothing can be an anomaly. But it's the way to go as far as we're concerned. We've got a good structure in place now and have come up with some solid plans for growth.
Sounds good. And finally, what do you both think about the state of the fashion industry here in the UK at the moment? Michelle?
Well, for years now, we've seen more and more of our local manufacturers being abandoned for production facilities much further afield, simply because it's cheaper. It's a shame, really, because all that expertise we had has been greatly diminished. Perhaps the government needs to provide more of an incentive for entrepreneurs to start new fashion companies in an attempt to get back to where we were.
And when you think about the number of buildings dedicated to fashion that there used to be throughout this country too, you know, linen factories, woolen mills and so on, it's a disgrace that we've practically killed our home industry. We've ended up gradually industrialising the globe without keeping our own artisanal skills alive.
Indeed. Well, Michelle and Oliver, thank you for talking to us today.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.